Welcome to another edition of the Gaming Gang Extra. This time, I'm joined by Steve Wood of Escape Pod Games as we talk about Gunship First Strike as it has just launched on Kickstarter. We'll discuss the game as well as what gamers can expect in the future with Gunship. We'll also discuss some tips for using Kickstarter as well. I am your host, Jeff McAleer. Steve, thanks for taking some time out to talk with me today. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Very good. I did want to take a little time today to talk about Escape Pod Games because it's fairly new on the scene. Also, you recently launched a Kickstarter project for Gunship First Strike.
Yep. It
looks very different than most of the titles that we tend to see on Kickstarter. So wanted to talk about that as well and go into some details about what you have planned for that series.
Okay.
But first off, why don't you let our listeners know how you got into gaming and how Escape Pod Games came to be?
Okay. Well, first of all, it only is new to all of you guys. I feel like I've been part of the gaming scene for a long, long time with Escape Pod Games. I've been trying to break in for a really long time. Probably been working on the latest incarnation of the game for probably about 6 years and really working hard the last year or so to get it produced and get it ready. Got involved in gaming in probably early teens with, you know, maybe little Dungeons and Dragons in fifth or sixth grade, something like that. Started getting more into the board game type thing in the late 80s. Got introduced really into the hobby of gaming with Car Wars.
Okay, good old Steve Jackson Games.
Oh, yeah.
Made games.
Right. And, you know, it was a...
that's just my thing. I keep joking around. Steve Jackson Games should change their name to Munchkin Games because that's all they make now.
Sure, sure. And I, you know, love Munchkin, but they've done so many different versions of it now.
Right.
That I can't keep up with it anymore, but that's a great game. Car Wars was really special because I loved the way that you could build any type of car that you wanted to. And that was kind of revolutionary then.
A lot of the fun of the game was building your own vehicles.
Sure. And sitting around for hours with a pair of scissors and all the cardboard sheets and some of those counters were, if I remember correctly, a quarter inch by a half inch for the pedestrians and,
oh, yeah,
and stuff like that.
The grenades were tiny. I think they were about an eighth of an inch by an eighth of an inch. It was crazy.
We really enjoyed creating our own rules for games, creating our own boards, because even though Car Wars had so many different things, I mean, they had a truck stop and they had several different arenas with three-dimensional ramps and stuff that you could build, but we liked building our own stuff too.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing we found, some of the rules to Car Wars were just a little overcomplicated.
Right.
So we simplified the movement and came up with our own movement system for it and actually would create our own arenas and stuff out of grid paper,
mm-hmm,
like graph paper. I mean, you could buy it like at the office supply store. You could get a sheet like 2 feet by 3 feet of that and
we
just tape
that
it
all
together.
The time
we actually would play with micro machines. I don't know if you remember those or not, but they're kind of like Hot Wheels but smaller.
Right.
And we had a rule where if you destroyed someone else's car, you actually got to keep that little car, and and sometimes that would cause hurt feelings when you would, you know, blast somebody's, you know, little 57 Chevy that they were particularly proud of.
It became part of your collection. You got the pink slip on that micro machine.
Exactly. Another game we were really heavy into, and I don't think this game really was heralded or super popular, but it was by Games Workshop. It was one of their first games. It was called Block Mania, and it was set in the Judge Dredd universe, which is pretty cool.
I remember that.
You remember that game?
I sure do.
And you, each player would have this huge apartment block, and you would move your mobs, and you had gangs and things like that, and it was just highly destructive, and you would attack each other with chainsaws and all types of missile launchers and submachine guns and things like that.
Right.
And you would launch raids into the other guy's block and set fire to it and stuff like that. And that game was probably my favorite game of all time, at least, you know, in the first part of my gaming career, if you want to call it that.
Used to have that game. The name didn't jump out at me, but then you mentioned the Judge Dredd aspect. Oh, yeah, I remember that one.
That's probably the first one that I walked in, you know, maybe 15 years old, went into a comic book store, picked it up, flipped it over, and just saw all these pieces and all these little flame counters. And being a teenage boy, it's, you know, the lure of the destruction.
Of course.
I would hand draw. We'd go get poster board from Ben Franklin, it was called at the time, and colored pencils and stuff like that. And we would actually create our own blocks. And we had some that were just ridiculously huge. And then we would come up with our own rules for that. And we would have underground areas. So I would say, you know, probably 14, 15, 16 is where I really started finding that I kind of had a knack for creating rules and creating maps and things like that.
And that's what Escape Pod Games grew out of?
Yes. I'm sure it had different names in the beginning. I eventually settled on Escape Pod Games probably at some point in the 90s. I'm a huge Star Wars fan, and so I kind of wanted to have some kind of a Star Wars reference, but not something that would infringe on anybody's copyright or anything like that. So the Escape Pod was such a iconic part of that, just because in the beginning of Star Wars, without the Escape Pod, we wouldn't even have the rest of the movies.
So Steve's Lucasfilm Games, that name didn't fly then.
Right. They didn't want me to use Death Star Games. You know, I'm not the first person to say this, but those Imperials had just blasted the escape pod, which
the story's over. Oh, yeah. Yep.
I was in Target tonight. I'm actually putting together a sci-fi uniform for a video that I'm going to shoot soon. Since they're re-releasing the movies in 3D,
yes.
You know, obviously the shirts are popular again, and you know they have a shirt with a schematic of the Millennium Falcon on it. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's crazy when these movies and DVDs get released. Walmart and Target are just all on board, and you start seeing Star Wars shirts all over the place.
Well, they're all about profit.
Sure. Well, of course, I grab as many of them as I possibly can while they're available. But you know, once you wash them 5 or 6 times, they don't look very good anymore.
No, of course. Is Gunship First Strike going to be the first title that you had designed? Are there other designs that are floating out there that you're looking at in the future?
I think Gunship is going to be my franchise for the foreseeable future. Gunship First Strike, and we kind of named it that way because it's the first one, and we wanted to imply that there are going to be, you know, many more sequels and things.
Sure.
But, you know, I have one that just needs a little bit more playtesting, and I'm hoping to launch that one in fall/winter of this year.
Okay.
And then tons of little things, upgrades and new weapons and cards and stuff like that, that I'm just kind of waiting to see how the core game does, and then we're going to release them in bundles of some type or another.
Okay. So why don't we talk a little bit about Gunship First Strike?
Okay, sure.
We do have a bit of sneak peek information on the Gaming Gang website.
Okay.
It goes into a bit of detail about the game. It is a two-player game, and each side has identical forces.
Correct.
So there's completely even play balance.
Yes.
What else can you tell us about Gunship?
Well, it is a two-player game, but if we hit a very reasonable stretch goal on Kickstarter, it will be a four-player game. I'm really hoping to hit that because I mean, it's fun. It's great. It's a two-player game, but you know, obviously double the people is double the carnage and double the fun.
Sure.
Gunship is a tactical space combat game. I say in a lot of my media, the best way to describe it is it's basically a brawl in outer space. There's no resources. There's no political intrigue.
I don't have workers I can place.
Right. No workers you can place. All the workers are in the hangar waiting for the gunship to come in so they can weld wings back onto it and load it up with bombs again, sending back on his way. So basically, it's a tactical fight. There's no hexes. There's no range counting, pretty much for the most part. You know, you're in range of his guns and he's in a range of your guns, and you just have at it. The dice are used for the fighters. They're in constant dogfights with one another. You're trying to get your fighters to a point where they can catch one of the gunships where it's not escorted by its own fighters so they can do a strafing run on it. And most of the game is centered around getting your gunship over to the enemy carrier so that you can hit it with torpedoes and drop bombs on it. Obviously, the objective of the game is to destroy the other guy's carrier, and so that's what you're going to be concentrating most of your forces on trying to do. It's played with cards. The gunship allows you to play the different attack cards. That's where you fire your torpedoes. There's cards that say bullseye, bonus damage, slag, things like that. So those add extra hits to your attacks on the carrier.
Okay.
And you can also use the cards when you're attacking the other guy's gunship. So for instance, you can use the bullseye card to choose the hit location if you shoot the other guy's gunship with a blaster cannon or with an ion cannon. Or if you want to, you can wait until you're doing an attack on the carrier and you can play that same bullseye card to actually do an extra hit of damage to the carrier. So there is a scale of damage to it, and there's a lot of choices you can make with the cards. There's a lot of different ways you can play a hand depending on how things are going.
Each player receives a carrier, a gunship, they have fighters. Any other units involved?
No, not in the core game. There are no other units. You just get your fighter squadron, your gunship, and your carrier. And getting back to what you'd said at the beginning, you had mentioned that everybody has identical forces. The reason for that is there's this huge war fleet, and it's basically being separated in a civil war type situation. Mm-hmm. So different admirals and different warlords are taking over little sections of the fleet and kind of going their separate ways with it. And so everybody basically has the same forces because they're all from the same fleet. To this point, there are no alien races or anything like that. It's just everybody sort of fighting against the establishment.
If you get to that extra level where you say you're going to make it a four-player game?
Yes.
Will it be two players versus two players, or is it just a free-for-all?
It'll be two teams each.
Okay.
When you have the four-player version, you're going to have two fighter squadrons for each team, two gunships for each team, but they're going to share a carrier. The carrier is basically going to be a heavy carrier, and it's going to come with some armor tokens, so it can take a little bit more damage than a standard carrier.
Right.
I figured you would have to with, you know, two gunships coming after it. But then if we hit a further stretch goal, then I am going to go ahead and release the two additional carriers and the dice that come with them.
Okay.
And I'm not holding back to try to sell more stuff to people later. It really isn't an added expense to add those two more carriers and the two extra 12-sided dice.
Sure, obviously.
But I think once you have the four carriers and the four gunships and the four fighter squadrons, I'm definitely going to start working on free-for-all rules. I think that would be great. The only problem with that is that whoever's shields go down first, they're just going to be leaped on like a pack of wild dogs by the other three players. But what can you do?
With most games where it's every man and woman for themselves, there's that whole pylon factor.
Sure. And there was one game, I don't remember what it was. It was back in the 90s. I don't know if it was a rule for Magic or what it was, but you could only attack the player to your left, I remember. And I always just thought that that was so lame because I guess somebody had created this rule to keep everybody from just piling on the weakest player and knocking him out of the game. But it was always, you know, this guy to my right keeps attacking me, and yet I keep attacking the guy to my left.
Right.
So I don't remember what game that was, but yeah, that was really weak.
That almost sounds like it may have been a multiplayer variant of Magic. It kind of rings a bell. It's been years and years since I played Magic.
Right, me too.
There's a story that we've shared I think once on one of the podcasts. We were at Gen Con and Magic was fairly popular. It hadn't completely exploded yet. And Elliot wanted to get into the big Magic tournament they had.
Okay.
And I was like, okay, I'm a war gamer. I mean, that's mainly what I really enjoy, but I play everything. But
mm-hmm.
That's my niche. But I enjoyed Magic, and I said, okay, let's do this. First round, we're in the tournament. Elliot, and at this point in time, we're probably in our mid to late 20s. He goes up against a 12-year-old kid who just destroys him in, I think, four rounds. And the best part is not that Elliot got completely obliterated in this game. The kid treated him as if he was this peon. Didn't talk to him. The only communication that was going on was effectively saying, okay, that's two damage. That's two damage. Very unfriendly. And that was one of the reasons we got out of Magic, is we found that we ran across a lot of people who played that came across to us as if they weren't playing games for a social activity, that they were actually social misfits.
Right, right. Well, there's plenty of that in the gaming industry anyway.
Most definitely, yeah.
No fun to just get completely owned and treated like that.
By
a 12-year-old.
I'm sorry, we totally got off base there, which is how I do my interviews anyway. But
sure.
We were talking about some of the additions that you were going to make based upon certain levels of Kickstarter funding. And you were talking about adding the dice, the two extra carriers, and so forth, because there's an extra cost involved in that.
Sure. And some of these things don't seem like it's very much money, but when you multiply it by 2,000 units, it gets up there very quickly. I mean, if something's a dollar to add to the game, that's $2,000 right there that you need to be able to add it.
And I don't believe that a lot of people realize that the first printing of a game is quite a bit more expensive than any subsequent printings.
Sure.
Because whoever you're going through who's going to produce that game, they have to tool everything. Everything's brand new. They have to scan all this stuff. So the return on the investment of that first printing is going to be much lower than any subsequent printings would be.
Sure. I mean, I had these big dreams in the beginning, you know, that I'm going to print 2,000 copies of this game, MSRP of $40 a piece, and wow, I'm going to make $80,000 from this. Fortunately, the reality is that most of those games are going to be sold to game stores at $20 each.
Right.
I have to pay my investors back. I have to pay insurance for the shipment from China. I had to pay $750 for three prototypes that I got right back before Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, those are the most expensive games in my collection, $250 a piece
right.
for those.
Right.
Two of which I gave away.
And you created those.
Right. And I created those.
You created them, and they were still the most expensive games you've ever had.
Right. Right. Shipping. Filming the video for Kickstarter, paying for anybody who buys internationally during Kickstarter. I gave them the best shipping rate I possibly could, so I'm actually going to be, you know, paying quite a bit towards that on each one. By the time it's all said and done, I'll make very little on the first run, so I'm hoping it does well enough. Second run will be larger. Sure. And then when some of the expansions start to come out, then, you know, we can recoup some of our costs there.
Now, once you achieve your Kickstarter financing, which from what I can see of Gunship First Strike, I honestly don't believe that you're going to have any issues reaching your funding level that you've initially set out. I'm just being honest.
Sure.
I'm not psychic or anything like that. I just don't see that there's going to be an issue because it's not a niche game. It's got broad appeal to a lot of different people.
Sure.
Further on down the line, are you planning on rolling out to conventions and things like that?
I'm definitely going to go to Gen Con this year. That may be the only one I end up being able to go to. Unfortunately, I have the full-time job in addition to kind of doing this as a side thing, but it will have a presence at conventions because my fulfillment company, which is Game Salute, will be taking it to conventions as well. So I will be getting exposure.
Great.
But as far as me actually getting to go to a convention, you know, probably Gen Con is going to be the only one. Unfortunately, none of these cons are really close to my home state of Virginia.
There are a lot of people out there who are looking at Kickstarter. And you and I have talked over the phone, and I had mentioned very upfront, I'm not always the biggest fan of Kickstarter because I think there's a lot of stuff on Kickstarter that actually shouldn't be there. It takes away attention from designs that should be out there. And there are some companies that shouldn't be on Kickstarter as well, simply because they should be assuming the risk of producing a game if they believe in it, as opposed to the public.
Sure.
What would you say would be one piece of advice you would give to someone who's looking to take a design on Kickstarter once you've already gotten your funding and your project's over? So they're not going to compete.
One thing about Kickstarter is you need to be prepared to spend a lot of time getting ready for it. And hopefully you're in a position where you have other people who can take over some of the things. I'm pretty much doing everything myself, filming the video, getting all the Kickstarter page built, getting all your links set up, doing all the artwork, researching sound effects for the video. There's just so much stuff if you want to put together a nice professional Kickstarter campaign. It's definitely a lot of work that you should have yourself prepared for. I would also recommend that you set a reasonable goal. So we made sure we had covered a little bit more than half of what we were going to need. I've seen some Kickstarter campaigns where they come in and they want $20,000, and it's sort of obvious that they really don't have any of their own money. They just kind of want everybody else to sort of fund the project. You know, $20,000 is a huge amount of money to try to secure. So you've got to really make sure. I mean, maybe you do have a game that's worth it, and if you can get enough backers, you know, more power to you. But you've got to be somewhat willing to put in a good share of your own money to be able to do it. And also that looks a lot better to other people that, you know, this game is good enough where you're going to put up thousands of dollars of your own money and your friends' money and your family's money, and you just need a little bit of help from the rest of the gaming community to be able to kind of push you over the top there.
It's kind of funny that you mention that, because I know for a fact I have taken a look at some of the projects that have not gotten funded.
Okay.
Because there's ways for you to find that stuff out. And
right.
There have been a few that I've seen where their funding goal was about $30,000 and over 60 days, 60 days, what have you, they brought in $200.
Right.
And I had looked at some of the photos that they have, component prototypes, things like that. And I was very surprised that they actually were able to obtain $200 and some. You have this project and you don't know anybody out there who believes in it enough to actually fund it more than 1% or less than 1% of what your goal is?
That's probably the biggest part, and I kind of neglected to mention that, is you really have to promote constantly to the point where you're just promoting to the point where you're extremely stressed out about having to get it on there, because Kickstarter is a great platform. It's a wonderful place to secure funding and things like that. But if nobody knows that you're on Kickstarter, you're not going to make anything.
No.
And you've got to spend some money. And we spent a lot of money to get banner ads on various websites and many a night staying up till 1-2 in the morning. Designing those banners, doing a Google search of a board game preview websites and creating bookmarks and folders of different sites that might be interested in doing an article or letting you post an ad or doing an interview.
Sure.
You know, I feel like I have pretty much hit all the major sites. I think I've released enough pictures here and there and generated some excitement and some interest to be able to do it. But there's a line that you walk, because at the same time, if you push it too hard, you're going to oversaturate. You're going to annoy the people who own these websites. They're going to be like, hey, you know, all you're doing is coming on here and talking about your own product. You're not supporting supporting the community. You're going to have people completely sick of you. I mean, how many commercials have you seen so many times where it just makes you feel like you're never going to buy that product from that company just because you're so sick of looking at their commercial?
So that is Gunship First Strike, and it is on Kickstarter right now.
Right now.
Right now.
Yeah, please back us. You'll get a lot of cool stuff.
Anything else you'd like to add, Steve?
Last thing I want to add is that I want to create a universe that is built partially by the gaming community. I want all of us to kind of get together and sort of build this thing and grow it as it goes along. There are a lot of reward levels on my Kickstarter campaign where you can actually create factions. They're going to come up later in the game as expansions. You can actually create a character that's going to be used in the game. I have a reward level where you can design a ship or a ground vehicle or something like that. And Luca Oliastri, my artist, will create actually a 3D rendering of it to your specs, and it's going to come in at some point. It'll either come in as a card or it'll come in on a board of its own. But there's a lot of opportunities if you guys out there have some ideas of something that you've always wanted to put into a game, but maybe you just didn't want to create a whole company and a whole game around it. But you can definitely, you know, get it into our game. I'm going to continue my fan fiction, and any good stuff we get from that is going to come out later on. I really want to flesh out this universe, but you know, I can't do it all myself or with the small team that I have. And so I'm hoping this is something that the fans will get to create a lot of the background and a lot of the story and a lot of the different things that are going to be used in the game.
Steve Wood, thank you very much for joining us, talking to us about Escape Pod Games and your initial Kickstarter project for a Gunship or Strike. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Jeff. I appreciate it.
There you have it. A big thanks again to Steve Wood of Escape Pod Games. And you really should take time out to give Gunship First Strike a peek on Kickstarter. Thank you for listening, and be sure to join Elliot and I on our next scheduled episode of The Gaming Gang.